dive right in because...
Wait, before you do that, could you very kindly look at your Audacity and tell me what mic is active on it?
I already did, Savannah, okay. Big giant bitch.
Okay,
because we figured out that one of her USB ports actually doesn't work
for her
microphone. So if she was using that beforehand, it would explain why it was switching.
That makes a lot of sense.
We've had to figure it out.
You are my actual nightmare.
Stop! How was I supposed
and
to
I
know?
Sit here with my Wednesday Addams vibes before you. And you're still much scarier.
Disrespectful.
I'm so much her brother. He's like,
you're
get
not
what
a Pugsley.
Pugsley. Oh.
Yeah, he just.
If anything,
get...
your Uncle Fester. You've the forehead for it. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Possibly all the right. Vibes, because you still haven't
Lizzie.
Slept.
And Lizzie is definitely your gold digging wife from the second one. Like, I'm sorry, but you 100%. Are that bitch. You are her. Like.
100%. I'm not pretending
no,
to be anything else.
There is no one in the Addams family that would suit you as much as her. Like... Oh my god. Okay, right. Yes. Another episode of just getting right into the podcast. I might leave that part in though.
I feel like you should. Yeah. Look, it's doom and gloom for the last
it
couple
is.
Of weeks.
And it's doom and gloom from here on out once we get into the story. So.
It's way worse than I thought. It's way worse.
Okay.
It's way. I no wonder I couldn't.
On that encouraging note, let's dive in.
It is 1 p.m. and I didn't get to sleep until 8 and I got to get up at 12. So I'm mildly delirious. So if I say something weirdly...
Mildly?
Yeah. So if I say something that's like really disturbing in like a kind of a lighthearted tone, I don't mean it. It's just because I'm not functioning as I normally do.
Yeah. There may be some uncomfortable giggles throughout this. Yeah. And also I feel like, again, this one does have some very heartbreaking child murder, so trigger warning. I think we'll throw that out there.
It also has a big stupid bitch. It has two, actually.
And I hope you mean Chris, because, yeah. Anyway, moving on with the story. I've already dived us in, so let's go swimming.
Okay, so my sister Anya, shout out to Anya.
Woo.
She brought my attention to the fact that there's... a campaign running from the 25th of November, which is the UN Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, to the 10th of December, which is International Human Rights Day. And it's the 16 Days of Action campaign. And it's just kind of a time that people use to raise awareness and just call for changes at like an international and local level.
Yeah.
You know, like just to draw attention to abuse. And just so you know in advance, before I start all this, is the focus of this year's Women's Aid campaign is intimate relationship abuse. And if you want to get involved in their campaign, you can share their Two Into You campaign materials online. Check out the 16 days blog and register your online event or activity at the Women's Aid website. Or you can email them to register your interest at christina.sherlock@womensaid.ie. And she'll send you out like posters and bookmarks and stuff like that.
Very cool.
So,
okay.
To be honest, I wanted to do Chris already, but it just was a good.
Yeah.
It was good to kind of align it with something like this because it's just good to.
Yeah,
it's the right time.
Raises
to bring
awareness,
up.
You know.
And as
two
usual,
birds, one stone.
Those websites that Cueva was mentioning, we will add the links to our episode description and onto our social medias, all of the stuff that we always do. Links will always be available. And before we get into this, I do actually want to say one thing, because I had a thought about our last episode where I mentioned that our listeners could email us if they felt that they were in danger. And I had a thought about it in a way that it's not always easy to reach out without your correspondence being looked at. So what I thought is, we currently don't have a merch store. So this is a very good way to get through to it. If you're listening to the podcast and you were in a situation where you were in danger and you need us to contact somebody for you, email us asking about a merch giveaway that we're doing.
Yes, that is so fucking smart. Oh my god.
And we will know exactly what that means. You can give us your details. Yeah. We can get in contact with the police for you, send them out to your address. If you don't want to give us your details, say it's for, I don't know, a friend or a family, and we can reach out to that family member for you and let them know that you were in danger.
Because it's not going to look suspicious then.
Exactly.
It's a case of your emails, your phone calls, anything like that are being looked at.
You are 100%
suspicious-free. You're not
going to
be found out from
that. Or suspicion-free by that way. Yeah. So email us about the merch giveaway that we're doing and we will know what that means.
You can DM us on Instagram as well, just in case, you know, some people don't have access to emails and stuff that we've Instagram as well.
For this and one, I think I will put our email and social links into the episode description as well. You can click them from there, which is a bit of a pain in the balls, but you can copy and paste from there. So just go ahead and do that. I'll have everything you need there. I just thought it's very difficult to get a safe way to reach out to somebody, and that's the best I could think of.
No, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully nobody has to use it, but it's there if somebody...
We'd like to think you weren't in that situation, but let's be honest, it's more common than people realise. So, yep, that's all. Just wanted to start with that, because otherwise I would have forgotten. So, yeah, with that, if you'd like to get into your story, Caoimhe, you go on ahead.
I'll start off with kind of a backstory. I was kind of confused as to how I wanted to lay the story out, whether I wanted to go 100% in chronological or whatever, but I ended up doing it this way just because I feel like it makes more sense to me.
Okay.
But anyways.
Okay.
So Christopher Lee Watts and Shanann Catherine Watts were locals of Spring Lake in Aberdeen, North Carolina. They met in 2010 and were married in Mecklenburg County on the 3rd of November in 2012. When they met, Shanann had been recently divorced. They'd had kind of a rocky relationship, her and her ex-husband. There was kind of speculation that he was abusive, but that's speculation 100%. There's no...
Okay,
right. There's no proof.
There's no proof, but it's...
Was there any allegations made by her that...
No, but no. They just didn't work out. There's speculation as to like how she kind of phrased things when she was speaking to her friends, like when you can read her texts, that people think that some of her stuff that she was referring to, the fact that he had been like... maybe abusive or controlling or something. But anyways, that's
so he was toxic in some way, we just don't know what way.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair.
They got married in 2012 and in 2013 they bought a house together, a 5-bedroom house in Frederick in Colorado. And that year, that December, they had their first daughter, Bella Marie.
Oh, cute name.
Gorgeous name, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cute. I really like the name Bella.
Yeah.
Twilight vibes.
You've ruined it, Caoimhe. Stop.
Yep.
The poor child.
Stop. In January of 2015, Chris began a new job. He started working for Anadarko Petroleum and he was like a field coordinator. So what I took from that is that he went around to like all their different sites because they were like an oil company. So he'd go around to all their... whatever. I don't really know the like ins and outs, but that's...
No, I think from the bits that I do know about this case, I think you are right that he was... basically a site manager but different.
Because he was multiple site managers, he was like a field coordinator, do you know?
Exactly that.
So that same year, in July, they had a second daughter, Celeste, who they called Cece. It was really cute. Shanann had been working at a children's hospital, but after she had the two girls she decided to be a stay-at-home mom. You know, which is understandable with childcare. The cost of childcare in America is just
so fucking astronomical. Expensive. It's ridiculous.
So
like,
it's actually cheaper for one parent to not work than it is for both parents to work and pay for childcare.
Yeah. Which is atrocious, can I just add that?
Yeah.
Like, you're working, spending time away from your kids to end up more expensive than you being able to stay home and like rear your own kids. It's crazy.
But then at
like,
the same time, you're also forced to give up a career as one parent just to take care of your kids. Like, you're not really
getting
a good
choice. It's better to kind of bite the bullet for the few years and... like both parents just work, because if you're out of the job market for that long, like it's so hard to get back into it. So Shanann obviously wanted to make her own money at the same time, so she was a representative of a multi-level marketing company,
Pyramid
Lavelle. So she was selling a product called Thrive. She apparently was very good at what she did. She had like her own Facebook page where she'd go on live and stuff, you know, like interacting with her customers and just generally trying to like upsell her products.
So she kind of bordered on an influencer at that point.
She did, because at the same time, as well as kind of trying to upsell her products, she also wanted to let people into her family life, because it obviously helped kind of humanize her and people, her her customers would have liked that.
Because they have someone that they're like, oh well, I can relate to her, like she's a family woman, married, has two kids, she's working for herself. Do you know what I mean? So
that's
see why a lot of people would like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then as well, you're definitely going to hit the mom demographic with that. They're like, oh, 100%. I have kids. Definitely.
Absolutely.
So it's just good business in that case.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, as she was showing like her kids and stuff, but after everything kind of happened, people started kind of questioning like why she was like documenting her life the way she was.
Right.
Don't we all? Haven't we all since like 2008.
Exactly. Like, she wasn't like doing anything major. Like, she was just going on lives and like posting videos like the same way. But I suppose it was, you know, 2015 when it was kind of, I don't know, people were doing it back then, weren't they?
Yeah. Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I think that would have been really the height of it, the real start of that kind of
the vloggers, thing. Yeah. Like the family vloggers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think people were just nitpicking, you know, it's always easy to kind of
100%.
Yeah, I firmly agree.
I think people do try and look for like a reason as to why like everything happened. But anyways, I'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end.
Occasionally Chris would actually show himself on her live streams, but he came across as very shy and like reserved, uncomfortable. He was seemed very introverted.
Right.
Like he was like 100 times less comfortable on camera than Shallan was.
Right.
So he wasn't really a regular, we'll say, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At one stage, Shallan actually won Alexis from the company because her sales numbers were that good.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
That's fucking class.
Yeah, a fucking Lexus, man.
A whole ass Lexus. Like, not my favourite car, but would not turn one down.
Yeah, like, it's still, imagine like that, you do that good of a job, you get given a car.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an Irish car where it's like close to the ground. This was one of those like the solid fucking beefy American cars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the real, like this, we'd consider it a fucking Jeep here, nearly.
Yeah.
But they just call it a car.
That's their basic cars. It is. It genuinely is. Like,
crazy.
Not to bring on too much of a side story, but just on your point, so I can just say what it's like. David went to Texas a couple of years back with work, and they went to pick up a car.
The Texas trucks are ridiculous.
Yeah, they were getting just a regular ass car. There was only two or three of them, I think, sharing this car, and they were like, nah, man, you're going to need a much bigger vehicle than this. And they basically brought him out like a Hummer.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
No.
It made no Texas fucking sense. Known.
Like, they have cars that are like, or Jeeps, we'll say, that are like 10 foot tall.
Yeah. They do not believe in small cars in America.
Imagine the glute workout trying to get in and out one of them.
Honestly, yeah, there's no small cars in America. They don't exist.
No. Friends and family actually reported that Chris and Shallan, like their relationship was very good. That Chris was like the ideal dad. Do you know that he really enjoyed spending time with his kids? He was really affectionate with Shallan and, you know, the usual, I suppose,
good dad, good husband
goals. Yeah, say, right. Do you know that?
Yeah.
He was very present and enjoyed spending time with his kids, which I suppose should be the baseline, but I suppose, you know, it is kind of not uncommon, but it's not 100%.
There's so many shitty dads now that like being just a good father is like gold star for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The bar is low.
Yeah, it really is.
So in May of 2018, Shallan found out that she was pregnant for the third time. She went on Facebook Live and recorded Chris's reaction. Like, she told him, obviously, the news.
Mm-hmm.
So she was sitting on the couch, and the two girls were with her, and she was holding the pregnancy test, the positive pregnancy test. And Chris walked in and she showed him that it was positive. And he reacted really weird. Like, it was like there was no reaction. You know, it was kind of like, oh, cool, you know, like, not the response you'd expect, you know.
Not the usual, like, oh my God, are you serious? Is like, this really happening? Like,
I
more
know
sort of like, oh.
He wasn't a fan of being on the lives with her, but like Savannah was saying,
it's still,
you'd be like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Do you know, if you were being told, technically, like, I know you already have two kids, but it's a life-altering news because you have another, like, kid on the way. Like, you're going to be losing your fucking mind.
Yeah. Like, not to be, like, bagging on Shallan or anything, but, like, I do think it was mildly shitty of her to, like, live stream as such, like, a private moment when he wasn't comfortable with being so public.
True, but it's still her news as well.
I know, it's her news, I 100%, but I feel like
if she lives her life online and her whole purpose is to, like, invite people into her home, her life, in order to sell her products and stuff like that, her online persona, I don't think, like, yeah, she could have had a conversation with him off the bat, but, like,
in the instance of like publicizing his reaction is where I would be kind of like, it doesn't really bother me. Like, I know what you mean. I'm just saying that at the same time, if I was him, I'm glad I'm not, I would probably have been kind of like, it's not ideal when she knows that he doesn't really like being on live and he's getting such big news that he can't really, it's suspected that that's why he didn't really react properly. Do you know?
Right.
But that's just that's a minor point. I don't really give a shit. Like, she had every right to do what she did. It's not a big deal. It's just,
I don't know. Like I say, I would probably, I wouldn't exactly post it online because I'm more private than that. But I would record, like, even your reactions if I was to tell you I was pregnant.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Good or bad, I want to look back at it and be like, Jesus, look how disappointed in me they were.
No, excuse you. I am so looking forward to being, like, the godmother of how many kids? between the two of you and turning them into little terrors.
So yeah, I can see why she did it, and I don't think there's too much of a reason to be very upset with her since she is such
personality. No, I just think it does explain why he might have been funny.
A bit subdued. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, with Shanann working for the MLN. MLM.
MLM.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and say that ever again.
MLM.
She was sent on... She was sent on like a lot of company trips, you know, obviously for like business meetings, etc.
Yeah, of course.
Whatever. In June of 2018, she went to San Diego and Chris went with her.
Right.
And Shanann, while she was there, did a load of like lives and stuff to show what was happening. But at the end of that same month, Shanann and the two girls went on a 6-week vacation to visit her family.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6 weeks is a long time.
It's
a very long time.
So basically they were taking time apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a break, 100%.
And Chris, being the giant bitch slut that he is, took advantage of her being gone for 6 weeks and started having an affair with his co-worker, Nicole.
It's not Ross and Rachel. That doesn't mean we're on a break. Like, yeah, you're taking time apart.
You're still married and you're still in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
Like, Ross and Rachel, they were on a break. It was shitty what he did. It was bad timing and it was disrespectful to the relationship. But they were on a break.
Yeah.
So. But he did it within, like, 6 hours of that break.
It was shitty. It was 100% shitty. But it's...
Right. I am on Team Rachel for that. They were not in a break.
She said we're on a break.
She said I need a break from us, but like she didn't say they were like on a break to the point that they could see other people. And he went and fucked a bitch within 6 hours of it. Like,
yeah,
I'm
but
sorry,
he obviously
Ross did
like, Ross, like
And yeah, okay. And in this case also even worse, because at least Ross and Rachel weren't married. But like, yeah, no, there's no such thing as a break in which you can bang other people in Irish. That's called divorce.
So phone records and search history showed that Nicole had, she'd long harbored an interest in Chris. My theory is that they had been seeing each other for long before this.
Yeah, from the bits I knew about it, I was under the impression that the affair was long. It wasn't
The reason he acted funny with the I think a lot of the reason he acted funny with like the announcement and this kind of stuff, like I feel like it was long running.
Yeah.
While Shanann was on her trip, obviously she was thinking, not on her trip, but you know, when she was taking her break from Chris or whatever, she kind of noticed that he was wasn't like available to her the way a husband should be to his pregnant wife. Like, he wasn't texting her back, and he was just like impossible to contact. He wasn't ringing her back, you know, this kind of stuff. He was missing calls and etc. And she felt obviously like, being pregnant and the fact that she was his wife, he should have been trying to contact her and make more of an effort to stay in contact, like that he should have missed her and wanted to talk to her and, you know, I love you, etc.
Of course.
She ended up texting him and confronted him. So she was probably about, I'm going to say, 8 weeks-ish pregnant at this stage. And she texted him and confronted him and said that she knew that there was something going on, that something wasn't right.
A woman knows anyway. You just...
Yeah. This whole story is... it's like the fucking poster child for trust, like believe your intuition.
Yeah.
You know, July 7th at midnight, first record of Nicole and Chris contacting, like... official record, like through their phones. That was when it was first like noted,
right?
And the call only lasted 2 minutes.
Very short.
That same evening, Chris's phone like pinged at multiple different restaurants around their area. So we're gonna assume that he was out with fucking Nicole going for dinner and stuff.
Yeah.
And is this Nicole without the E? So Nicole is this the one that was lagging off?
N-I-C-H-O-L.
Yeah, Nicole.
Yeah, bitch, your name is Nicole.
And that's exactly what she's fucking were, because she's what a dick.
Okay, I'm going to call her Nicole from now on. And it'll make it easier because there's another Nicole later on.
Yes. Yeah. So the cheaty one is Nicole and the other Nicole is just Nicole.
Yeah. The cheap one is Nicole.
Just so you know.
Early the next morning, so July 8th, Chris texted Shanann saying, "I'm sorry, boo. I fell asleep as soon as I got home. That heat killed me yesterday. I love you so much." And Shanann replied saying, "You okay? It's like you don't want to talk. I kept trying to talk and I had to dig it out of you." And he said, "I'm fine, baby. The last few days at work have put a lot of responsibility on me with new people. I didn't mean to seem short, boo. I love you to the moon and back. Love, heart, kissy face." Mm-hmm. And Shanann said, "I miss you and I feel like you just want to work out and run." And he said, "It helps me clear my head. It's a way to free it all." And Shanann buyed none of that bullshit. And she said, "I wish my husband wanted..." Yeah.
Completely fair, like...
Yeah. So on the 14th of July... there's phone records of Chris and Nicole talking. He also had 4 missed calls from Shanann. She kept calling throughout the day, but he obviously wasn't answering her because he was with Nicole. And he answered one of her phone calls and it only lasted for 1 minute because he had been spending the day with Nicol at a car museum.
That is boring. Atrocious, like.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, that! Is...
God, they were so exciting. I can see why he left his boring marriage for this boring bitch.
A fucking car museum, I'm sorry. There are records of Shanann. She was talking to her girls that day when she couldn't get through to him. She was saying that Chris wasn't acting right. He wasn't himself, that mm-hmm. the relationship was like distant. And it was apparently very obvious to her that he didn't want her the way he had wanted her before.
Yeah.
That yeah.
He'd been very like hands-on and lovey-dovey and was just all over her all the time. And it was obviously polar opposite to now at this stage, as you can tell.
Yeah. If you're only talking to your pregnant wife for a minute in the span of however long it's been now already.
Like, that's telling her all like, she needs to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two ended up speaking later on that day and Chris told her that he didn't want to be with her anymore. That he didn't want to be married and he didn't want the baby. So Shanann is like pregnant and she has a baby and he's saying he doesn't want it. Like, where do I put it? Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm having a baby and you're now telling me that you don't want it anymore when you wanted it when we were planning to get pregnant.
Pregnant. Yeah.
You fucking moron.
Like,
he just doesn't want it because he can run around with his new like boo thing.
Exactly. Like, imagine receiving that text. Like, you're pregnant, you're hormonal AF, you're at home with your two small kids. You're at your parents' house with your two small kids, and your husband is at home, not trying to contact you whatsoever. You feel like he's doing something funny, and he tells you he no longer wants the kid that you're pregnant with.
But he's basically telling her to terminate that, and I guarantee you as well. It's only because like if they were to divorce, he's going to have to pay upkeep or what's it called. His alimony and shit like that. All of that. So that's an extra kid he's going to have to pay for. So he's essentially telling her to get rid of it because I guarantee he didn't want
to
pay for it.
And it is more shameful for you to leave a newborn baby than it is for like kind of grown up little kids. Like they're obviously, they're not, they were what, like 3 and 1.5 or something like that? Yeah.
They were like 2 and 4.
Or 2 and 4. Yeah.
Because he could always use the argument, well, I stuck around for as long as I could for the sake of the kids, but I couldn't take it any longer.
But I couldn't take it anymore.
Bollocks.
But abandoning a newborn baby and your wife just out of hospital, like you can't do that shit on her own either.
No.
Yeah. He needed out before that baby was ever to exist.
So Shanann was like, she really, really tried to save their marriage. Like, she suggested marriage counselling, but Chris said that he wasn't up for it, that he just wanted out of the relationship, that he wanted to cut his ties. On the 18th of July, Nicol and Chris, they passed nudes back and forth, like, between their phones. Mm-hmm. And there was one that I saw of Nicol, like, posing in lingerie, and it's a picture that Chris took, because you can see him in the mirror, like, in the reflection of the mirror.
Yeah,
I seen that one.
Yeah, so Chris, being the snake that he is, downloaded this secret calculator app that it looks like a calculator until you type in like a special code and it opens up and photo storage system.
Oh, you dirty tramp.
So he was constantly transferring all these photos into that album.
What a clever hooer.
Yeah. He was also found to be Googling vacation spots on his home computer. This is
such a snake.
This is the first in a many of Nicole's Googlings. Because on July 24th, she Googled, man I'm having an affair with says he will leave his wife.
Nicol.
She's a fool. And that obviously,
I have something to say about that, but I'm going to wait until a while because I don't know if you're going to mention it or not, and I don't want to say it before you do.
Okay.
Just
That same day,
it's making me angry.
Shanann was texting Chris and was like, You could have answered or texted back. I thought something happened, but you don't care about others' feelings. You don't care about others' feelings or I think you're with another girl or worse. No consideration of others.
What's worse?
I'm telling you, I don't know. That's what I asked.
Him probably being dead if he's not responding.
Yeah, like,
I don't know. I don't think I'd rather him be dead than cheating me.
But I mean, this is such a good example of she knew before she knew. Like, she knew.
Oh, she knew.
She knew, but she didn't want to know. If that makes sense. Yeah. And I feel that's something everyone, like, especially, I feel like the three of us can relate
begging to.
Begging
to be proven wrong.
You know, but you're like,
but you know.
You're like, I'm being paranoid, I'm being stupid. Like, she probably dismissed all these feelings as paranoia and like being overly whatever the fuck. So
a woman.
Yeah. So anyways, they kind of went back and forth and Chris apologized and he said he loved her. And literally,
that's nice.
The next day, Chris Googled when to say I love you. When to say I love you for the...
Oh, you absolute psychopath.
For Nicol.
It gets worse. When to say I love you for the first time in a new relationship. What
I
do
knew
you
it was for Nicol.
There is more. What do you feel when someone tells you they love you? How does it feel when someone says I love you?
Oh, wait, no, he's actually psychopath.
Yeah, I was like, oh. That's not a normal response.
No.
To anything.
How do you feel? You've been married for how many fucking years and you don't know how it feels when someone loves you? You are an emotionless
I'm sorry.
Person.
You've Say what you want about Shanann, but she obviously loved Chris, like the bones of him.
But they didn't get married no reason. Like, they got married because in the beginning they loved each other. So he should at least know what it feels like to love someone, or at least know what it feels like when someone tells you they love you. So you obviously
that just
and the
has
fact
no idea.
He's only telling her when he thinks it's appropriate,
oh
not
my
that
God.
He actually
Guys.
Feels it.
This actually makes so much fucking sense that he doesn't know what the emotion of love feels like.
Yeah.
Because he has only ever experienced lust. He lusted after Shanann and then she got boring because she had a couple of kids. And, you know, he'd been with her not enough years to be bored of her, but anyway. And now he's lusting after this new one, Nicol. He only knows the emotion of lust. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And doesn't know the difference between the two, between love and lust.
No, sure, because he can't experience it because he...
is incapable
he
of
he has a mental
yeah.
disconnect
clearly.
He has no idea
oh cool, straight sociopath, love that. Okay,
yeah, so on the 28th of July Chris and Nicol went on a vacation to the Great Sand Dunes, and I looked this up because I didn't know this was a thing, but they basically have these massive fucking sand dunes in Colorado that you can like go sandboarding and shit on. I thought that was but anyways,
yeah, they look awesome.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a thing, I didn't know it existed, but anyways,
honestly, Colorado seems like a lot of fun.
It does,
doesn't it?
They went there anyways and they stayed the night and took loads of pictures, which all of them he stored on his secret little calculator app. Look at him.
Oh, you're so smart. You're such a clever boy.
Fucking more. It was definitely like 123 was the code as well. Fucking fool.
Shanann's birthday.
So literally 3 days later.
Oh.
After they went. So they spent the night. So they came back on like the 29th. On the 31st, he flew to North Carolina to meet Shanann and the kids. From the 2nd to the 3rd of August, Chris was constantly transferring images into his secret little calculator app. And he was just constantly talking to Nicol. Shanann's family just reported that he seemed like real quiet and like quieter than usual, we'll say. Because they said he was always quiet, but that he just seemed very like disconnected and like distant from what was going on.
Yeah.
On the 4th of August, Nicol googled wedding dresses.
Oh, girl, getting a fucking head of yourself. Calm down.
She also googled Chris Watts because she was trying to find his Facebook page. And she also searched for Shanann's Facebook page. On the 7th, Shanann texted one of her girls, Addie, and she said that Chris was terrified of the new baby. She said, Chris told me last night that he's scared to death about this third baby and he's happy with just Bella and Celeste and doesn't want another baby. And her friend Addie like tried to reassure her and was like, he'll be grand once the baby arrives, do you know? It's just, you know, pre-baby nerves.
Cold
like, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty normal to get scared about three kids because, etc., extra bills, it's a new baby, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shanann said, he has changed. I don't know who he is. He hasn't touched me all week, kissed me, talked to me, except for when I'm trying to figure out what's wrong. He's been distant since I left. The 8th was her appointment for her 15-week ultrasound, which was when she was... gonna find out that, you know, the sex of the baby. So Shanann had actually planned having a gender reveal party, but after her appointment on the 8th, cancelled it. She found out at her appointment that she was having a boy and she named him Nico Lee. So Nico, it's really cute. I like that name.
I would if
weird.
It wasn't dangerously close to the mistress's name. Like,
Nico
oh
Lee.
My god, I didn't even
N-I-C-O-L-E.
Ew. Oh my god, guys, you ruined it.
Did Chris pick that? Because...
It's kind of said that she named him. But...
Okay.
I wondered though, but that's a weird coincidence. I'm fucking wondering if anything, did they have like... Well, the 1 minute he decided to talk to his pregnant wife, like, oh, if we are having any names, I really like the name Nico, like if we were to keep it. Some bullshit like that. Like, you know he's...
Oh, wait. It might be...
Her friend Nicole as well. She has a friend
Nicole.
Yeah,
the hero of this whole story, by the way.
we won't say he's named after anyone. Yeah. He might not be named after anyone. It might just be a name she liked and it's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's weird.
Fucking weird.
So Shanann cancelled the gender reveal party that she'd planned and her friend Addie was like, what the fuck, basically. She was like, why did you cancel it? And she texted Addie. I've seen these texts now. I can send them on to you later. You can find them online.
Yeah.
And she said, she texted Addie and she said that Chris said that they were no longer compatible. That he had thought that another baby would fix their issues, which it didn't, and that he was refusing to do couples
Never
therapy with
answer.
Her. Obviously, we're having issues, let's have another baby and add a massive fucking stress. No.
That's, Yeah, because that's what you do to broken relationships. You smash them even further.
Yeah. So Addie replied saying, what? ? That doesn't sound like Chris at all. Did he go to the appointment? So this kind of shows me that people in her circle liked him. That this was this kind of weird fucking behaviour was, it wasn't the person that they had known, we'll say.
Mm-hmm. No, because like if he genuinely was like a sociopath or a psychopath, like everybody else don't actually get to see who they are, because they'll watch them learn their behaviours and put on an act in front of them so they learn how to be accepted. That's why he was so under the radar, even for Shanann.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make absolutely sure that they are the best thing since sliced pan to everyone that witnesses them. And that's how they get away with their shady shit.
Yeah. Addie asked, she was like, did he go to the appointment? Shanann said he had, but that he had been cold and disconnected. And that same day, Nicole was Googling marrying your mistress.
Nicole, right? First of all, get over yourself. Like, I'm not being smart. She's a bit of a dopey cunt. Because if you were to think, right, to Google that, the easiest answer is he'd have to leave his wife in order to marry you. Like,
legally required to do so.
Are you dumb?
And see, this, I'm biting my tongue because I have something to say that's going to make me really fucking angry, but I'm waiting. I am waiting because we have to get to a point before I know if I can say it or not. Okay.
So after she cancelled her gender reveal party on the 8th, Shanann was Googling emotion-focused therapy and couples therapy. She was texting her friend saying she was scared to be a single mom, that she couldn't afford 3 kids in Colorado, and that the mortgage, like the house loan, was in Chris's name. But she also said that she was going to fight for full cost custody.
And
in kind of a last-ditch effort, she bought a couples counselling book on Amazon and she asked Chris would he read it, and he agreed to. So this is all kind of going on the background when on the 9th of August, Shanann and her friend Nicole Atkinson, so the good Nicole, they flew out to Arizona for a work conference. Shanann was said to have been very down, feeling well. Nicole said that they kind of had to kind of convince her to eat. They had to, like, that she wasn't hungry, and they were afraid of her not eating because with her being pregnant, that they knew obviously that she needed to eat for the baby's sake.
Yeah. A clear sign of depression.
Yeah. Well, imagine the fucking anxiety you'd have, like, when you're like that, there's no... Your appetite would be gone. And on top of the fact that she's pregnant and all those hormones, it's a no-go. Like,
yeah, she could have morning sickness or anything, so even the thought of food itself...
Like, she was 15 weeks...
What did you say? She was, like, 15 weeks,
so
weeks,
she's just... She's in at the start of her second trimester, so, like, that's kind of when stuff starts really kicking in. Do you know?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
As her last final kind of attempt to save the marriage, she wrote Chris a really long letter, just kind of outlining how she felt, what she wanted, you know. Chris texted her. I'm presuming she planned on giving him the letter in person when she got back, because it's not, but that's not mentioned, but I'm presuming she sent him pictures of a letter she'd written, you know. I presume she waited anyway.
Yeah.
But while they were gone, Chris texted her a picture of what looks like one of the daughters lying on the couch with a blanket draped over them, and it was like real kind of weird and creepy looking, because it's like the head and like body down to like maybe the mid calf is covered by this white blanket, and the feet are like poking out at the bottom.
It's like,
it's a really weird kind of picture, because as well at the same time, it also doesn't really look like a person. Like, the legs look real skinny, like too skinny, if you know what I mean.
Right.
They don't look chunky like a bit like a kid's legs. They look real,
yeah,
like a Barbie doll legs. It was
long.
Yeah, weird kind of.
Oh, okay.
No, like proportionally wise, a kid, but just real slim. I don't know. Very strange. And Shanann texted back being like, I don't know what to think about this, because obviously she was like, what the fuck?
It was a bit fucking random.
People think that this was him kind of alluding to it, we'll say. I feel like he was one of those people who he wanted to get caught before he did it, if that makes sense. Like, he kind of fucked up in a lot of ways that I'll tell you about in a while, but that it kind of seems like he didn't want to be successful, but he did. But he kind of, I feel maybe it was the attention seeking side of him that he wanted caught in advance. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very strange that he kind of gives off these little clues nearly.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So anyways, on the 10th of August, Chris asked his neighbour if the daughter, like that family's daughter, could babysit for a few hours while he went off to a baseball game. But obviously, of course, he wasn't going to a baseball game. He was hanging out with Nicole.
Shock.
Mm. On the 11th, Nicole spent 45 minutes googling topics such as how to prepare for anal sex, the anal sex guide, which progressed to her searching through Pornhub for interracial porn videos and threesomes with double penetration.
All right, Nick.
I mean, whatever you're into, but at the same time, like, yeah. 45 minutes. Is that not a really long time? And I'm pretty sure she was doing this at, like, in, like, the AM. Like, it was 8:30 or something in the morning.
As in 45 minutes to watch porn? Is that not a really long time? Is that what you mean?
Is it?
Or, like, I mean, her just like, her
in general, like, researching.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want your anus to prolapse.
I mean, true.
So it is a very, very good idea.
I'm not like shaming any of that shit. Like, makes no business, no odds to me. No. But it is. I found it unusual.
But I mean, you do that shit incognito. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that kind of stuff you kind of figure out. Like, or you ask one of the girls who's done it. Or, do you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Google isn't reliable. Do you know? I have a nosebleed and it's like.
Well, that's probably why she went to fucking Pornhub.
Yeah, I know. But like, that's not really reliable. Like, anyways. That's just a little note as to where their relationship was heading, you know, that kind of way.
It's getting very serious if we're heading to anal, let's be quite
and
honest.
I do think, like, though, that it's kind of a sign of, like, Nicole being very, like, trying to please him. Because it's not something that she, like, she has no idea, like, about how to do it. So I feel like if you've
it's not something she's been into before.
I feel like if you've any general interest in something like that, you will have, not research, but you'll kind of know a bit about it.
You definitely look into it.
So
like,
the fact,
like, ooh, I might like this.
No, it was definitely like at some point he said it to her, like, I want to do you up the back alley.
And she was like,
and
willing to please kind of thing.
She was like, yep, anything you want, sir, no problem.
On August 13th, Shanann and her friend Nicole were coming back from the business conference. Their like travel, their trip home was a nightmare. Like, their flight was delayed and just everything went wrong. So it was very much like Akiva and Lizzie trying to get someplace situation.
No, I am fine.
Oh,
it's
please,
you that is like
Lizzie.
Directionally
we both
challenged.
Have bad. I'm not directionally challenged. I just have bad luck.
Akiva?
No, Lizzie, don't start.
You got lost and only I arrived at the station like the shining Jesus that I am.
Yeah,
you
I missed my stop, but that's not directionally challenged.
I feel like you definitely have worse travel luck than the rest
I
of
do.
Us. But when the three of us are combined, there is no hope for us.
No.
So,
Akiva gets lost, I get the creeps, and I think you get the creeps as well.
I get the creeps too.
Yeah.
I say that like I'm
only
upset about being
Cork.
Left out.
How dare you insult me by saying I don't get creeps?
So, anyways, the two girls had a really shit like trip home. Their flight was delayed, blah blah. Shanann obviously still wasn't feeling well. She was like 4 months ish pregnant, and you know, she was having a shit time and she just wanted to get home to Chris and her girls.
Yeah.
At 1:48 AM, Shanann got home, or Shanann. I'm presuming they know because they had a lot of security, so I'm presuming that that's how they know the exact time.
Yeah.
But said it was 1:40. Cole went home, went to bed, and she woke up the next day and concerned because she hadn't heard from Shanann. She knew that Shanann had had like an OBGYN appointment that morning, and she had actually offered to give Shanann a lift. She knew Chris was working. Chris worked early mornings. He left the house at like 5:30 every morning.
Yeah.
So she knew that he wouldn't be there to give her a lift, and she said, you know, if you need a lift, if you're not feeling well, I'll bring you over. But she never heard from Shanann in the morning, so she was like, this is weird. It said then that Shanann missed a business meeting, so Nicole said fuck this and went over to the Watts house at about 12:10 midday. When she arrived at the house, she saw that Shanann's Lexus was in the garage. The girl's two car seats were in the car still, and Shanann had a pair of shoes that she wore every day, probably her comfiest shoes, and being pregnant you need
like
comfy
shoes.
And she said they were at the door. You know, she knew it was weird. They had like, I don't know, was it a Ring camera or whatever on their doors, but
it was.
So when Nicole went to the door, Chris was notified that there was movement at the door, like it was, you know, it's one of those ones that's like it's connected to your phone. So he got a text saying that, no, you know, and it was one of those ones that takes a picture as well, so he knew it was her at the door. So she called him, and he said that he hadn't really spoken to Shanann because they were separating, but that he knew she had plans to take the girls on a play date that morning. Cole said
problems
that,
her comfy fucking shoes are there, the car and the car seats are there.
Yeah, that's literally it makes no sense. She said that Shanann had been acting strange during the weekend. She wasn't eating, she just wasn't acting herself. And she actually also said at like a later point that she thought that Shanann didn't know that they were officially separating. She had told Nicole that they were just having issues. Whether or not she didn't want to kind of fill in Nicole fully on everything because maybe it'd make it real or whatever, or she maybe was in denial.
Yeah.
It was later found that at 8:30 that morning, Chris had called the girls' school and told them that they would no longer be attending. Not that they'd be out for the day, but that they were not going to school anymore.
Unenrolling.
Yeah. And as Lizzie said...
Not sus
yeah,
at all.
As Lizzie said, the girls were 4 and 2 and would have needed car seats to get to the playdate that Chris had mentioned. So it wasn't like, you know, someone had come and collected them that would explain that her car was there, because she said would have needed the car seat. And she was pregnant, so it's not like she would have walked. And plus, 2-year-old isn't walking anywhere. So...
They're so temperamental, like trying to bring two of them anywhere.
Yeah.
And because they walk like Pookie snails, like it would have taken fucking forever. Yeah. So too right, you want your comfy shoes on if you're doing that shit. Legs.
No, it was not happening. Like, how the Watts had, they had an insane amount of security. Like they had cameras all over the home. They had like keypads on their front door and front front door, back door, and their garage door.
Americans.
Nicole, Nicole knew the key. Like the code for all these keypads, obviously, like for emergency sakes.
Yeah.
But she said that when she got to the house, she tried to get in the front door, but the latch was thrown across on the inside of the front door.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right. The chain lock.
Yeah. When she tried to do this, when she tried to get into the house, Chris got a notification that she was trying to get into the house, and he rang her and told her to stop and to get off her property. And he told her again, he said Shanann was at a play date and she needed to stop. Like trying to get into the house.
Why are you getting so vexed?
Yeah, Nicole said that she was going to call the police, but Chris told her not to, so she decided she'd call the doctor's office and kind of get details about, you know, Shanann's morning. And she found out that Shanann had actually missed her appointment. So as soon as she hung up with them, she called the Frederick Police Department. She rang Chris and told him that she had called them, and he said that he was on his way home. An officer Coonrad, he arrived to do like a welfare check at about 20 to 2 that afternoon.
Right.
And his body cam is the body cam footage that you can find online, where you can see this guy on YouTube that does kind of did like a body language analysis of the whole welfare check, which is really interesting. And it's kind of like what I feel like I showed it to you, Lizzie.
You did, yeah, because that was the very first time I'd ever heard of it. Because like this was about 2 or 3 years ago, and you were like, I need to show you this. This is fucking crazy. He's a psychopath. Like,
it's really, really.
So I remember.
It's very interesting. I'll give the name of the guy that does it on YouTube, but it's basically Chris Watts body cam footage, like your body language or whatever. Mm. And it's the first video that comes up, and it's really interesting. Nicole and her son met the officer at Shanann. Nicole explained that she dropped Shanann home that morning, blah, blah, was expecting to hear from her, etc. She outlined the fact that Shanann was having issues with her mental health, the fact that she was pregnant, apparently she was diabetic, and all the small little details that just were not adding up, you know, with the car seats, etc.
Yeah.
The officer, first of all, was allowed to get into the house without Chris's permission, and all the latches and all the doors of the house were flipped, which meant nobody came out those doors. The only way someone would have come out would have been out the garage door. So when the officer rang Chris to say could he go in, Chris said he would let him in, but the problem was that the keypad of the garage wasn't working, that he had like a beeper thing, and that was the only thing that would open it.
Sure.
So it really to me sounds like he kind of had half rigged it so that nobody would be able to get in without him.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
So the officer was, you know, banging on the windows and stuff because he was thinking, listen, she's pregnant, has she fallen? You know, he was trying to get the girl's attention. This is, you know, a neighbour noticed the commotion. This guy called Nate Trinitich. He lived next door to the Watts, and he volunteered to look at his home security footage because he had a camera that pointed at his front driveway, but out of its peripheral caught the Watts driveway.
His house was still in view.
Yeah. So it was able to catch the Watts driveway, kind of. There was like a bush in the way, but you could see someone coming in and out, kind of thing. And it caught the road out the front, so you could see if someone had driven away. So there was no way someone would get in or out without this camera catching
them. Without it seen, right.
So Nicole rang, Shanann's mum was on the phone to her, and Shanann's mum was saying, you know, stay on the phone while you do the welfare check and all this kind of stuff. And she was asking all these questions. And in the meantime, Chris arrived home. He talked with the police officer, and he discussed ways to locate his missing family. Just like, you know, could they be here? And Chris was shutting everything down, even logical suggestions like, you know, if you're missing something, right? You know, if you lose your keys and you're like, okay, where could it be? You're going to, if you really can't find them, you're going to check even the stupidest locations. You're going to check like everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Where they'd never
be looking in the fridge and everything.
He was turned down everything. Like,
you never know.
They were saying, is she gone to the local pool maybe because it was a hot day? He was like, no, it's a hot day. And I was like, that makes no sense. And
like, you're going to go when it's freezing.
Exactly.
Chris, are you well?
What a time to swim, but the height of winter.
He was kind of saying, no, she wouldn't have done that. Like, he was turning down everything when, in reality, a normal person would be like, let's check. Let's just make sure. Do you know?
Yeah.
You'd be tearing everything apart, every place apart, to find your pregnant wife and your two fucking
kids. And two little girls.
So
you'd leave no star or stone unturned.
No, at all. Not like, one. You're checking everything. One thing that is noteworthy is that when he pulled up, you can see on the officer's body cam footage that he pulls up on the curb. He doesn't pull into the driveway.
Right.
This was habit because Shanann had asked him not to park in the driveway because, one, when he got up early in the morning, the drive was kind of under the girls' bedrooms windows, that the car, it was a big truck, that the truck, the engine starting up would wake the girls because they were light sleep, and because his work truck leaked oil and it was ruining the drive.
Fair enough.
So keep that in mind. So Chris is walking around slow as shit. He's dawdling, he's wasting time, he's like, let me just check in the passenger side of my car. He opens up the garage, and he goes into Nicole's car, or not Nicole's car, into Shanann's car, and he's like having a look in there, like he's wasting time. He has one full minute alone inside the house.
No. What is he hiding? What is he trying to get rid of?
Like,
A minute is a long time.
Especially when you know where everything is.
He did something.
Yep.
I don't know what, like, we obviously don't know what he did, but he...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris told the police officer that he could come in to do the welfare check, but that there was no sign of Shanann or the two girls. During the search, Chris, he comes up and he goes, oh, this is so weird, like, I found her phone.
Oh, so you couldn't have found that fucking ages ago, Chris, you lying cunt.
Yeah.
Who is he trying to fool? How intelligent does this man think that he is?
He's a dumb fuck.
Yeah.
One thing that is kind of interesting is that the phone was powered off rather than dead. So it had been turned off. And Nicole said that this was, like, beyond out of character for Shanann, that she would never, ever leave the house without her phone. Like, you know me, if I didn't bring my phone with me, you'd be like, yeah. But this is, like...
Typical you.
Yeah.
Like, you'd nearly want to send a carrier pigeon to get in contact with you sometimes.
Yeah.
But for normal people, it's very
unusual.
She
was even more so attached to her phone because her business was run through social media. So...
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah. She was, had blogs, yeah, or she did live streams.
Literally her job.
Her phone was her lifeline. You know, Chris actually referred to it, quote unquote, her lifeline. Chris also noticed that their bed sheets were missing, and on camera you can see him talking to the officer, and he's like, the girls, that their blankies are gone, the blankies that they sleep with, they don't go anywhere without them. So they're kind of dawdling around the house. Chris has his face in his phone, like, he's so, like, you can see the disconnect that everyone is mentioning. Like, you can see him, like, he's like in his phone.
Yep.
So they're kind of, you know, the officers asking him questions, and Nicole's son comes up to the searchers and he said that Nate had checked the cameras and found that nobody left the house during the day. The only people who showed up in the driveway were us.
So pray tell, did they escape through a secret fucking tunnel?
You can see Nicole has, like, a visible reaction to this, where it seemed like, it's like she knows that Chris is sus as fuck. Like, she knows that it doesn't make sense. And it feels like, I feel like that's the point where she knows that he was involved.
Definitely. Like, I'm sorry, but the stupidest thing you can do in this whole situation, if you were Chris Watts, is challenge a woman's best friend. Nobody knows more about a person than a woman's best friend. Nobody.
I swear to God, this made me scream laugh in the most awful way. Because the officer goes up behind Chris. He's a couple of feet, but he's behind him. And he activates his police radio. So does that, like... And he, like, speaks into it, like he's, you know, just basically saying that he's on a welfare check or whatever. And if you've ever seen a man shit his pants, he shit his pants. He thought, in that instant, he thought, I'm caught. Like, you see, you know when you were a kid and you got, like, you got caught with something and you did that, like, huh, kind of face. Yeah. That, he did, yes, like, a, huh, like, it was so...
Like, be guiltier.
Be guiltier. Anyways, Chris is wandering the fuck around, being a useless prick, and he comes back from the master bedroom with Shanann's wedding ring. But the way he was carrying it, it was like he had it on the tip of his finger, so it was like hanging off the tip of his, like, right index finger. And he walks up to Nicole and points it at her and goes, found this.
You what?
It was your man now with the body language thing was like, this is just a sign that he's really trying to, like, not hold it properly because he wants to kind of distance himself from the whole what the ring means.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is me thinking that he's trying to say, okay, this is, Shanann has left, you know, Shanann has done a runner. She's left me and she's taken the kids.
Yeah, the woman left the ring on the bedside locker. Like, it's literally a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, the girls
have
taken their blankets. They don't go anywhere without them, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, the officer's asking Chris questions and he decides to call in his detective. I presume his detective is his superior. Because he said the situation was odd. He said there was, you know, he knew it wasn't right. So,
not being funny, a blind man could say that this is fucking the stupidest thing to ever come about. Like,
honest to God. While they were waiting for everyone else to arrive, like all the other police officers, they went next door to Nate's house to look at the footage. When I say Chris sweats, he is sweating. He is like getting, you can see him getting sweatier and sweatier, and he's like starting to take really deep kind of heavy breaths to kind of like calm himself
down. Than the pedo in the playground.
Yeah, he's like, he's visibly uncomfortable.
And it's like the foot to foot standing, like fucking he's twitchy swaying, as
fuck. The heavy, like proper like rattled.
Yeah,
Like a junkie looking for his next fix.
He's
it's
like
that
burying
bad.
His phone, like, and he's like, you can see him like looking back at the front door, like as in he's kind of like he wants to leave. He has his hands up in the top of his head that he's like trying to get these deep like get breaths in, because I'd say he's having like the biggest adrenaline rush of like, I'm caught now, because
panic.
Basically, anyways, they go through the thing, and it's, you can see Chris on the camera making three trips back and forth his truck to the garage. But as I said earlier, Chris never parked his car on the drive. But this instant, he reversed his car right up into the garage.
So people can see what you've done with the body.
So Nate, the neighbour, was like on the ball. He was like, one of us, I swear to God. The second the door closed behind Chris, because Chris decided he'd go back, because I'm presuming once they'd gone through the footage, Chris said he'd go back to the house. And the officer said he'd stay behind to get your man's details. You know, normal police stuff. The second the door closed behind Chris, Nate turns to the offer and it was like, he's not acting right at all. He pointed out how much Chris was like
Nate.
Swaying and like sweating. Yeah. He said that he never loads his stuff in and out of the garage ever. Nate went through like the specifics of the camera angle, showing the officer that there was no way for someone to leave or arrive at the house without the camera seeing. Like, the only person who left the house that day was Chris. That's it. They knew this obviously because the latch of the back door was flipped, so you couldn't obviously have left that way. Nate also said that he had heard them arguing in the days before Shanann went on her 6-week vacation. He said that they were full out screaming at each other at the top of their lungs. It's crazy. He noted, basically, he also was very aware of Chris's like day-to-day behavior. He said that Chris never would have ever reversed up to the garage. Like, he always would have only ever done like trips back and forth, because there's no point. Like, he would have had to move the car back out to the curb anyway, so it's easier just to fucking do the few trips.
Man, nosy neighbors notice fucking everything.
Yeah.
Like, even like my neighbors, if I notice like a car or like something's like weird, like, you notice it straight away.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's a bit unusual.
Yeah, honestly, I saw a BMW i8 the other day and I was like, who the fuck are you driving here?
That, like, car's too fancy around here. Who's you?
Yep, literally.
He also said that Chris never ever had anything with him, like going and coming from work, other than a water jug, a laptop case, and a lunchbox. I presume when he says jug, he means like a big bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nate, quote unquote, said he doesn't look worried. He looks like he's trying to cover his tracks. He said he's usually quiet, real subdued, but he's over here telling you three times what he took out, what he did. He never talks, so the fact that he's over here blabbing his mouth makes me kind of suspicious.
Nate, you love to fucking see it. Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Big fan.
Nate's
so
a hero.
Obviously, kind of news started to spread about the fact that Shanann was missing, and there was local radio station, not local, local television stations came to the house. Chris did interviews with them. Shanann's mam actually asked Chris not to do the interviews because she actually didn't believe that he had done anything and thought it would make him look guilty, because people always suspect the person who's going on telly.
Yeah, you always suspect the spouse.
She later said though that she was really, really glad that he had done them, because he did a terrible job of playing innocent. If you ever watch it, he's like smirking and smiling the whole time. His favourite quote is, "I have no inclination as to where they are." And it was just, it was so obvious, you know what I mean? It was just beyond. That same day, Chris was going through his phone, deleting texts, and he was also deleting everything to do with Nicole. So I'm presuming he deleted his calculator app. Him and Nicole, or Nicole, have a 51-minute phone call.
So couldn't call his wife for a minute, but yeah, can call, like, Nicole for 50.
Yeah. Said she had no idea that Shanann and the girls were missing.
Sure.
I mean, that's I think that's a lie. But, I mean, that's my, you know, you can have your opinion and say.
Was this before or after he did the interviews?
This would be after.
Well then, sorry.
So.
Lies, Minnelli. Mm-hmm.
So the FBI and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation joined the investigation the next day on August 14th. Nicole was Googling Shanann Watts. She was Googling, can cops trace text messages? How long do phone companies keep text messages, etc., etc.
Oh, Nicole, my God. When,
like,
have something about you, for fuck's sake, because you're clearly not smart.
How, wait, can they trace text messages? Did you not think maybe to figure out if they can check your fucking Google searches, dumb you bitch. Absolute dimwit?
Like, it's...
Like, even if you got rid of those text messages and they were untraceable, you now have obviously implicated yourself with having fucking texts that you shouldn't have.
Her and Chris are dumb.
Dumb bitch. They're, honest to God, the opposite of Bonnie.
She could have hoped to pull, like, a fucking Casey Anthony, though. That's how she got away with, like, murdering her daughter, because the police only got,
true.
Permission to go through her Google search engine when in fact she used Firefox, and the shit that she looked up on Firefox was like how to get rid of a body, how to bury a child, weird shit like this. Or I don't know, maybe she was looking to pull some shit like that.
Yeah, she thought she'd get away with it, like,
perhaps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe she was clearing her search history and she didn't realize that it's like traceable, but anyways,
she's clearly fucking stupid. Actually, I don't know what she's not that intelligent to think that, like, far ahead.
No,
or in depth.
No, definitely not. No, she was unaware of the fact that all technological devices, no matter what you do, and particularly when internet is involved, leaves a footprint. You cannot erase it. There is 0% of a thing you can do to erase it unless it's encrypted. And they weren't smart enough to use encrypted chats. So sorry.
The FBI interviewed Chris and he denied having an affair, saying, nah, I wouldn't do that.
Would you not?
He actually suggested that she was the one who was having the affair. He said that they had fallen out of love and the relationship was not going well. Throughout the interview, he referred to Bella and Cece as those girls and the girls. Like, he wouldn't refer to them by name in, like, on any level.
Bit fucking impersonal.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder what the psychological reason behind that is.
Just like people who accidentally refer to their victims as in, like, the past tense.
Mm.
So, yes. Anyways, on August 15th, he was told he was a suspect. So this is 2 days now after the girls have, like, Shanann and the girls have gone missing. He was asked to do a polygraph test. He did, and he failed.
How did that happen?
That's what he couldn't. What?
See, this whole thing was going on, and it got back to Chris' co-workers, and one of his co-workers found emails between Chris and Nicole, which he turned in for evidence. He also turned in Chris's truck GPS, because he would have had a GPS on his work truck, just to make sure that he wasn't using it for, like, maybe they provided him with, like, petrol and stuff, you know, so it was a way of tracking that or whatever. He had a GPS in his truck.
Yeah.
And that was...
It could be if they're driving long distances and if they go missing as well, they'll be able to track down where they are.
As well as the fact that if he was going to all these, like, random places, I'm presuming he'd need a GPS to get to them. So in the meantime, Nicole also came forward and told the story to the FBI, you know, the investigators, from her perspective. She told him everything. And apparently a lot of what she told them was, like, very useful information.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so she kind of half... redeemed herself in a certain way, that she was it could have definitely have been, like, a bad motive in the way of
she was only watching her own ass,
but either way she helped.
Yeah, this is what I've been waiting for, because like, now I'm fairly confident you're not going to mention it, but she told the investigators that she didn't know that he was still married, that she thought that they had already divorced and all of this shit. But then why would you be googling fucking marrying your mistress and shit if you didn't know
you
that they were
a
still
mistress
together?
Then you'd be his girlfriend.
You're just a girlfriend. So that was a bald-faced lie. Hashtag just saying.
Fuck you, Nicole.
She did know.
You knew. You knew. And you accepted it. And that makes you a cunt. Sorry. Homeworker.
The GPS that the co-worker handed up was traced, and they found the site that Chris had been working at morning of the 13th. And they sent out a drone. And this drone spotted freshly turned dirt along with the blankets and bed sheets that were missing from the home.
Okay.
During the interrogation, Chris asked to speak to his father, so his dad came into the room and all the agents left. His father asked him if he had anything to do with it, and Chris said he had. He claimed that he had seen her hurting the kids.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah. So the FBI agents come back in the room, his dad stays, and Chris confesses. He said Shanann had come home and they'd started to talk about the separation. He said he went to Bella's room and saw on the baby monitor that Shanann was strangling both the kids. In a fit of rage, he strangled her and then moved all three of the bodies to his truck, which he transported them to the remote oil storage site where he worked, and he dumped them there.
Can I just say something? I have an issue with that. If you saw your said wife, no, she wasn't wife, but strangling your kids, and you killed her then, like, as a way to, like, defend them, or, like, she has done this completely horrible, despicable thing,
I know what you're
going
to say.
Why would you bury them together? Why would you move them together? Would you not immediately call the police and be like freaking out, like, oh my God, I've just hurt my wife. I saw her. She was hurting my kids. I didn't know what to do. Blah, 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 blah. You yeah. would not, under any circumstance, yeah. go fucking bury them, especially together.
Especially not the two kids.
That doesn't make sense.
Want that. It mm-hmm. doesn't make sense.
No.
This woman, Sherilyn Cadle, she interviewed Chris for her book, which is called Letters from Christopher, The Tragic Confessions of the Watts Family Murder. These are all quotes of him from the book. And it's quite heavy, so... trigger warning, I suppose, for murder.
I'm already irate, so go on.
Buckle up.
So, August 12th, when I finished putting the girls to bed, I walked away and said, that's the last time I'm going to be tucking my babies in. I knew what was going to happen the day before and I did nothing to stop it. August 13th, morning of, I went to the girls' room first before Shanann and I had our argument. I went to Bella's room, then Cece's room and used a pillow from their bed. That's why the cause of death was smothering. After I left Cece's room, then I climbed back in bed with Shanann and our argument ensued. All the weeks of me thinking about killing her, and now I was faced with it. When she started to get drowsy, I somehow knew how to squeeze the jugular veins until it cut off the blood flow to her brain and she passed out. Isn't it weird how I look back and what I remember so much is her face getting all black with streaks of mascara?
Oh, that's fucking cold.
Yeah, I knew if I took my hands off of her, she would still keep me from Nickel. They asked me why she couldn't fight back. It's because she couldn't fight back. Her eyes filled with blood as she looked at me and she died. I knew she was gone when she relieved herself.
Oh my God.
After Shanann had passed, Bella and Cece woke back up. I'm not sure how they woke back up, but they did. Bella's eyes were bruised and both girls looked like they had been through trauma.
Because they fucking have? What do you mean?
What the fuck? Like, you literally just tried to...
Oh, I hate this cunt with all of my being. I'm getting so mad. Getting really mad.
That made the act that much worse, knowing I went to their rooms first and knowing I still took their lives at the location of the batteries. So I'm presuming that's the oil tanks or whatever. The girls were just kind of running around the house and watching me with scared looks on their faces. Bella started to cry, and when she did, Celeste started whimpering. What a nightmare this was. I realise now the girls getting up and walking around may have been God's third attempt to stop what I was doing. So I know.
No magic man in the fucking sky is going to stop this. And it is a nightmare, not for you, cunt, but for them. I'm actually round up. I'm so tired.
What a nightmare. The children I try to murder are running around my house now. Gosh golly, what am I going to do? Fuck you, Chris.
The FBI asked me if I was going to take my own life, and I told them I thought about it, but honestly, no, I was not going to take my own life. I dumped Shanann on the ground, then I walked back to the truck with the blanket. And with the blanket that Celeste was holding, I put it over her head and smothered her. I couldn't believe how easily it was to just let her drop through the hole and let her go. I heard the splash as she hit the oil. Little quiet Bella had a will to live. Out of all three, Bella is the only one that put up a fight. I will hear her soft little voice for the rest of my life saying, Daddy, no. She knew what I was doing. She knew what I was doing to her. She may not have understood death, but she knew that I was killing her. I had to put the girls in the tank so they wouldn't get up the second time. When I dug the hole, it seemed a lot deeper than it was. As I pulled on the sheet, she rolled out. She is Shanann. She rolled out and into the hole. Mm-hmm. I think she had given birth. She landed face down. I remember being so angry with her that I was not going to change how she landed. Basically, where he put the girls were these massive oil tanks. At the top of the oil tanks, where you could like access the oil, were these small like 8-inch holes. With lids. So he opened up the lids and put the girls in, but one of the girls, I'm presuming Bella, because Bella was the older girl, I think.
She
obviously was too big for it, and he had to force her through the hole, and there was hair caught.
Jesus Christ.
Where obviously she had been pushed in. There was claims that Watts, Chris would say, had given his wife oxycodone.
Oh shit.
And he responded with like conflicting stories, right, saying that he'd given it to her twice, once at her parents' house in North Carolina to try to cause a miscarriage, and then immediately before her death. He later contradicted himself and said he only gave it to her once in North Carolina.
Why is he carrying around oxys for her, like?
She asked him where he got it, and he told her that that is one of the things that he will take to his death. Yeah, so another quote from Chris is, if I had not met Nikki, I would never have killed my family. The darkness inside of me had won. It was still in me, though, I thought, maybe permanently. I felt evil, swallowed up by this thing inside of me. I felt like I could kill anything and be justified for doing it. All I could feel now was I was free to be with Nikki. Feelings of my love for her were overcoming me. I felt no remorse. So he didn't feel bad whatsoever about anything, that he felt like it was justified because he wanted to be with Nikki.
Have you heard of divorce? What the fuck? Like
I can't wrap my head around it.
I know she didn't want him to leave. Fair enough, of course she didn't. That is her husband. She was pregnant. She was fucking terrified. But you can still leave, even if somebody doesn't want you to.
There's nothing physically stopping
him
from going.
Reason.
Three bodies were sent to the coroners, and it was found that the girls had been smothered where Shanann had been strangled.
Mm-hmm.
His defense, though, had been that Shanann had been strangling the girls first and he was just retaliating. So obviously this straight away is not adding up.
No, sure, you would have seen bruising on the neck and everything if that was the case.
Yeah. On the 19th of August, Nicole Nicol was Googling Amber Frey. Amber was is the mistress of the man Scott Peterson, who murdered his pregnant wife. The searches included Amber's book, her net worth, and did people hate Amber Frey?
Yeah.
Personal fucking hero, is it?
Yeah, because...
Oh my God, no, she wants to do the same thing.
I know, that's what I mean. Like a personal hero, like I want to do that.
Yeah, that she was going to make money off.
Oh yeah, I didn't mean no to you. I just mean like no, like
yes.
That is...
Yeah.
So she wanted to try and make
like,
money
no.
off of this because she saw that she was not mirroring, but...
Conspiracy theory, but do you reckon that might be why she started it in the first place? It could be. I'm not saying it is, but it could be. She could have convinced him to do it and then be like... Cool, now I have like
but my that was such a big
bank.
Story. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I get a man and I get money without any
I mean,
livable
she
baggage.
Probably, if she did know that he was going to kill them, she probably thought that he would get away with it and that they would be kind of able to do the kind together and
together.
Able to do the whole kind of like McCann thing where it's like. You know, writing books about your struggles and stuff. I'm not saying anything about the McCann parents or whatever, but I'm just saying.
No, yeah. It took me a minute to realise
like,
what you meant, but yeah, I get you. Like, profit off of the sad story of Chris's last wife.
She was
wife
probably
just
hoping to be able to
and...
do it with him,
yeah.
But since he obviously was caught, she was going to try and do it on her own.
That is so
mistress.
Fucking dirty. I'm sorry. Oh my
just
God.
Just to seem like
drowned
a saviour to
bleach.
This broken man who's just lost his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
off.
On the August 21st, Chris was charged with 5 counts of first degree murder, including an additional 1 count per child cited as death of a child who has not yet attained 12 years of age and the defendant was in a position of trust, unlawful termination of a pregnancy, and 3 counts of tampering with a deceased human body. So I'm presuming the 5 counts of first degree murder were Shanann, first of all. Killed the 2 girls first. They woke, well, he didn't kill them, but he thought he'd killed them. They woke back up and he killed them again, so they would have counted as 2 deaths.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I'm guessing anyways, is why that there's 5 counts, because
unless like she was pregnant with fucking twins or something like that.
No,
it
was just the
like...
one boy, and that was
no, because
he was down
that didn't
as the...
count as a murder. It was an unlawful termination,
which is a
so I think
they really
Green
were trying
right
to lob him with everything.
Oh yeah, no, I mean like that'd be the only other thing, like, cause it doesn't make sense.
Oh
as
yeah
fight.
Sorry, yeah I get you now. Yeah, I agree.
Chris was denied bail at his first court appearance. At a later hearing, his bail was set at $5 million. He was required to put down 15% to be released. So, is that a lot?
15%.
I actually should have done the maths. I didn't even think of doing that. But
just short of $1 million, I think.
Yeah.
About 750,000, I think he would have had to put down.
Yeah, so that wasn't happening. Like. So the case has been connected in the media to all those. It's kind of like a social thing where, not a social, the crime of family annihilation. It's a social phenomenon, I suppose you'd call it.
Right, okay.
Many of these crimes occur in August before school starts, which they think is because it'll like delay detection and investigation because, you know, they wouldn't be going to school every day. And they tend to be carried out by white males in their 30s. According to FBI like profilers, cases such as the Watts case are rare because family annihilators like Chris usually commit suicide after the murders. Which is something he said he contemplated, but as he said as well, that he was never going to do. Chris's lawyer did an interview with Dr. Phil, and he said that he confessed to killing Shanann after an argument regarding divorce. During the murder, Bella walked in and he told her that Shanann was sick. He loaded Shanann's body and the girls without their car seat into the back seat of his work truck, and then later he smothered them one after another with a blanket there. So his story has changed like 3 times at this stage.
Yeah.
Chris pled guilty to the murders on the 6th of November, and the death penalty was not put forward by the district attorney because Shanann's family didn't want it. They didn't want any further death. They were supportive of the decision to accept the plea deal, and on November 19th he was sentenced to 5 life sentences, 3 consecutive and 2 concurrent, without the possibility of parole. He ended up receiving an additional 48 years for the unlawful termination of Shanann's pregnancy and 36 years for 3 charges of tampering with the deceased body. After this, he had his $5 million bail revoked and was immediately, like, in custody.
Yeah.
On December 3rd, in 2018, he was moved out of an out-of-state location due to, like, security concerns. So I'm presuming mm-hmm. they either were afraid that he was going to escape or they're afraid that he was going to be
murdered.
Oh, yeah. Child killer, 100%, like.
Immediately, shanked.
Raped.
The second he walked in there.
Yeah, he was being attacked. Yeah,
and rightfully so. Mm-hmm.
Since the 5th of December in 2018, he has been at the Dodge Correctional Institute, which is a maximum security prison in Waupun, Wisconsin, and he's there now continuing to serve his life
sentence. And there's people defending this bastard.
Yeah.
Saying that Shanann deserved it.
I literally had an argument with a woman in work. Now, bear in mind, I haven't had a clue about any of this until Cuevas has told me. And she's asked me if I'd watched it, and I was like, no, not yet. I was like, I'm waiting for one of my friends to tell me about it, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, well, just when you heard, or you hear of it, or even when you do watch the documentary, you'll realise that your one didn't paint herself in a very good light. And I was like, hold the fuck up. I was like, don't you dare say there's anything to justify that man taking her life and her fucking two kids. And she said, oh no, not that. Well, not about the girls. I was like, whatever about the girls? I was like, even herself. So she could have done that. She's not deserving of having her life cut short because he didn't want to get a fucking divorce.
I mean, it's not that. Right. The general consensus was that she was a bit of a bitch.
So what?
Around the people who were defending Chris Watts.
Apparently.
Exactly.
She said to have been controlling and stuff. Which I'm not saying she wasn't, but that doesn't justify in any shape or form.
No.
And a lot of her friends said, yeah, Shanann was kind of controlling, but in the best way. It was sort of that that fucking cheerleader mom energy, like pushing you to be better. And like, if she knew something was good for you. Now, again, I don't know the woman. This is just, again, what I know about it that I'm kind of bringing back now to like add on to Cuevas' story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't know the woman. Yeah. But by all accounts, it was like cheerleader energy. And yeah, it could get annoying, but she ultimately only meant the best for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who, first of all, defend Chris, defend Nicole, saying that she didn't know and this, that and the other, that yeah, she was, you know, that she got with someone who was married, etc., but that she didn't know anything about the girls being killed and stuff, which might be true, but at the same time, I feel like there was definitely a part in it there, because that 51-minute phone call the day of the murders, like, there's no way.
Even her Google searches, like, come off it.
Yeah, deleting texts and stuff. Like, there was something they were talking about that she knew made her look bad. And
the idealization of the mistress that was involved in that other high-profile murder case. That's ridiculous.
I would like to speculate something, and you can tell me what you think of my theory. I wonder if Nicole was with Chris on their dates and all that shit that they were doing, and little by little she was like, you need to get rid of them one way or another, you need to get rid of them so we can be together, blah blah blah, and probably didn't mean murder. I'm not trying to say that she was kind of pushing him towards it, not saying she wasn't either, but just for this particular theory we'll say she wasn't. And then he did it, and then he was about to get caught and he rang her and he was like, I killed them for you so we could be together, but they're here now, what do I do? And that's why she started panicking, covering everything up.
Possible, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put it past.
Just my theory. I have no fact to verify this.
No, it's all speculation. Like, the ins and outs of the relationships and like what happened within them is like, it's all speculation. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever you
think. Exactly. And like, if that did happen, no one's ever going to say that happened. Yeah. You know?
In no situation does she deserve what happened to her. In there's nothing she could have done to justify it. Like, there's nothing.
No.
There's nothing. There's nothing that she could have done
unless
that would justify.
Unless she was literally Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Even then, like, at the same time.
No, then I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's kind of like you're taking shit.
Mass genocide is a reason to kill someone.
Yeah. Obviously. But like, it's not up for.
Being annoying,
it's not up
is
to
it?
Someone like fucking Chris Watts to decide that either.
No.
No.
Do you know?
Yeah, true.
Clean godlike.
But no, there was no reason other than he wanted to get his hole. But the
there's
other
nothing
one.
She could have done to justify him killing her.
No, he just wanted to make his own life easier.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, like, if she was such a chronic cunt that everyone is making her out to be, and that's the reason he snapped and killed her, because she pushed him to the edge, can you blame the man? First of all, get fucked. But secondly, why didn't he just kill her then? Why would you kill two little girls?
Yeah,
why?
No matter what they've seen, kids are kids. Like, yeah, they're going to know that some things are not right. But they're 4 and 2. They're not going to have any concept of what you've done. He could have, like, got rid of the body and, like, she's left me, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm here with the two girls. He just didn't want any of them.
No, he didn't, because Nicole didn't, like, wouldn't have wanted to be minding
someone else's kids.
He wanted to start over with his new one with a new life. He didn't want any of the old life left over.
Like, it's not the game
of
life.
He wanted to bleed into his new fantasy.
Get over it, like.
Yeah.
Like, he still could have had a new life if he wanted. Like, yeah, he could have left her, but still, he didn't, like, no, not that I'm saying he didn't have to keep in contact with the kids, but he very well could have just fucked off and left them all high and dry. Like, what
he didn't
have
to. He could have been a shitty dad, but a lot of it definitely was his image thing that he didn't want to be someone.
The reputation.
Like, he literally would, he was that obsessed with his reputation that he preferred killing his wife, unborn child, and two kids than just getting a divorce.
It's the narcissism. And thinking that he was smart enough to evade the police, to come up with these lies. For all these excuses.
And he did 0% of effort to cover the evidence. Like,
he's really stupid.
And then somehow shook to the fucking core that the police are radioing in and nearly shitting yourself in front of them.
See, this is why I'm saying Nicole, not Nickel, was the absolute hero of that entire story, because within 11 fucking hours she knew that her friend was dead. She knew. And if it wasn't for her drawing attention to it as quickly, I don't know how this case would have
gone. He would have had more time to come up with a story, the whole lot, because I guarantee you, like, that he wasn't expecting Nicole to come banging on his door.
Like, Quiva, you said she went to the house at 12 p.m. and he would have left with the bodies at, like, what, 5-ish?
Half 5, give or take, because half he 5. Went out to work at that time, and I think I'm pretty sure that he was there before anyone else was. Like, people arrived on site that day and worked.
Imagine being someone who worked.
And, like,
oh, that haunted forever.
It was a good, like, hiding spot, but he was just unable to follow through with anything else.
But at the same time, was it? Because I hate to phrase it like this, but, like, don't shit where you eat.
Yeah, especially when, like, they found hair.
Be like Lizzie burying a body in the freezer at Tesco. Like, it just makes no fucking sense.
You know what I mean?
He's not the brightest bulb.
Maybe if he had brought them to a site that he wasn't working on that day, then I'd be like, okay, cool. Not cool. I'm saying this terribly, but you know what I mean.
But I suppose he was thinking like, I'm going to work. So I can just say I was going to work.
Yeah.
So he was thinking it was an alibi, and it would have been an alibi if it hadn't been for the cameras.
Yeah, definitely.
Crazy.
Like, when you actually think about it, he could have gotten away with more of it if the cameras hadn't proven that he was the only one who left.
Definitely.
Like, if he had gotten home after work and cleaned up and done his bits and done what he needed to do to the house, he'd obviously planned to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shanann left, everyone would have thought it was suspicious and weird, and he definitely would have been a suspect. Yeah. But would there have been evidence?
Like, there would have been enough there for reasonable doubt, 100%. But, like you're saying, with the cameras, like, he fully implicated himself in it.
And he knew they were there as well. Yeah. He knew they were there as well, because apparently he actually asked the neighbour about them before in regards to something to do with his... Like, he knew they were there.
Yeah, there was some truck parking on the street that they didn't like, or
something stupid,
and they
like
wanted
that.
To see something about that. Yeah, I remember that, all right. But then, was that really what that was, or was he just seeing how much those cameras could see, so he knew to reverse the car up into the garage?
Seems more likely.
He's
a cockwomble.
How do you defend him? Whatever about anything else, right? You want to call Shanann a bitch? Fine, fair enough. You want to say that he had every right to kill her? Again, fully disagree, but all right, fair enough. But when you hear that he had no remorse and that he found it surprisingly easy to drop the dead bodies of his 4 and 2-year-old daughters into an oil tank, you hear that and you can still defend him. How? You're not human if you can hear that. Whatever about anything else, you always blame the woman anyway when the man snaps, so it doesn't fucking surprise me.
Like, I can see from some perspective, like, some people I can imagine probably find, like, comfort in some sense of, like, trying to blame the woman, as in... that she did something.
They want to find an excuse as to why something like this atrocious has happened.
If I don't do anything to cause it, it won't happen to me. Rather than believing that someone that you know and love, your, like, however many years that you have literal children with, can just brutally fucking murder you for nothing.
Because they're bored of you.
Yeah. Like, it's preferable to believe. It's easier to believe.
So that's just how fucking these people work. They don't care. Yeah. It's me, me, me. And fuck everyone else. And that is exactly who Chris Watts was. I hate that story so much.
It was a lot worse than I, like, when I found that big long quote of his about that, the letters for the book, I was like,
that was disgusting.
Yeah.
100%.
Because I'd heard some of it in his court statement, because Lizzie didn't watch the documentary on Netflix, but I did before I realised Quiva was going to do the story. So I was like, fuck, I shouldn't have watched that. But there was still a lot there that I didn't, like, it's not mentioned in the documentary. And I did want, I said it to Lizzie while you were gone, but it wasn't, you know, on air, so I'll say it now on air, just that literally they make Nickel look like the patron saint of mistresses, and, you know, oh, this poor innocent beauty, look what she got tangled up with. And obviously, no, she was more involved than we see. Not saying she was involved in the murders, but there was more to it than just, oh, He was just cute and I thought he was divorcing his wife, so I fucked him. No. No. Sorry, it wasn't just that. They really make Shanann look like she deserved it.
I hate that sort of bias
in that
shit,
documentary.
Like it did with your one in work. It's painting a narrative that doesn't fucking exist.
Yeah.
Of that she was this horrible woman.
But like it doesn't.
I don't know if they intentionally meant to do that in the documentary.
They did though. Like they humanized
him. Because they were including the Facebook
things. They humanized him a lot. A lot of my info I actually got off Bailey Sarian. She did it. And she got all her info off the 2000 page court like document. Not
the transcripts.
A 2000 page discovery, it's what it's called. So it was all the court documents, like the interviews, the timelines, all that kind of stuff. So they left out a lot of stuff in the Netflix documentary.
Yeah, because I had heard that Bailey had done a way better job at being, you know, non-biased towards the story and just telling the story as the story is than the documentary did.
I really feel like you've done that justice. Like, I tell you, I'm fucking seething mad. Like, any sort of English twang that I have, I think, came out in full fucking force. And that only ever happens when I am, like, a bastard. So,
yeah.
I am so shook. Like, you did such a good job. Like, I just can't. I have no other words.
How Bailey did it was, like, she told it from start to finish. So, like, what happened with Chris and then, like, Nicole finding out and stuff. But I feel like I preferred kind of telling it from Nicole's point of view, I suppose. Good Nicole's point of view. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
It kind of made more sense to me anyway.
No, I agree, because like I said, fucking hero. She is the hero of that story. So I like that you're telling it from her perspective as well, because best detective in the group.
After 11 hours, like, for sure.
11 hours.
For sure.
I definitely think, it could have gone completely different without her, and Chris was not banking on her. And you can, because what I didn't know was the phone calls before the body cam showed up. That's not in the documentary. No. So I didn't know any of that, where he was basically telling her to get the fuck out. And it made so much sense because he was not banking on the best friend. And he was like, fuck, I haven't had time to like get my story straight. I don't know what I meant to say. Yeah. They weren't meant to find out she was missing for hours.
He very easily could have said, like, I went to work. As far as I know, she went to her appointment. Do you know? Like, why are you making up a play date? Do you know? But that just goes to show that he didn't speak to her whatsoever about her life. That he didn't know that he could
use
that as a lie.
Yeah, no, he stopped caring about her completely. No fucking
interest.
She just
became a burden to him more than anything. Well, she wasn't a burden, but he felt like she was.
She was in his way. Yeah. She was in the way of the life he wanted. Her and the two girls and the soon-to-be son were a hindrance to his life,
which is awful, because Shanann was so excited about it being a boy because she was sure that Chris wanted a boy.
Yeah, she thought it would make him more excited,
and she thought that it would be
maybe he was just kind of sickened that he was having all girls, which is, you know, a lot of people do want, if they've had all boys, they want a girl, etc.
Yeah, and usually a man wants a boy so that he has like his little buddy, his little mini me. Same way most women want daughters so they have their little princess. Yeah. Like, again, we're not going with complete gender norms, but when you're having a baby, that's usually what you think. So it's just so fucking sad and aggravating.
I'm glad they got him though. That like they have their justice, like Shanann, her family, like the little girls, like they have their justice. I'm fucking delighted with that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And to stand up in court as well in front of her family and tell this fucking barefaced lie that he watched Shanann murder the two girls and that's why he killed her.
Yeah.
In front of her whole family was disgusting. My God, just unbelievable.
I don't really know what I believe, because his story with regards to who he killed and when is like, Shanann died in the home. That is 100. But his story as to whether or not he killed the girl in the house and then again in the house, or if he waited until they got to the site and did it there, like, it's really hard to know, because he doesn't tell the truth in any shape or form.
No.
Like, he's still lying, and I don't understand why he's still lying. Like, you've been caught, just tell the truth.
Yeah, it's hard to know which one. None of them are good.
Not at all.
No one is better than the other, so it's like, it doesn't even really matter which one is true.
It just, I don't know.
Because none of it makes it better, like.
It's just like, he doesn't even have the basic decency to just let people know what actually happened. Like, not even like people like us, but as in like the family.
Yeah, just so that they know what actually happened. Like,
instead, no, he'd rather.
The truth.
He'd rather, you know.
No, yeah.
Be a massive dickhead.
Well, he's obviously not concerned with giving peace to the minds of anyone else. Why would he?
No.
If he had any care for other people, he wouldn't have done what he did in the first place. So why should we be surprised that he's just a toxic lying fucker? After the fact. I hate him so much.
So yeah, this has been my brain for the last 2 days. 3 days.
What a fucking scary
place. Well, I'm depressed. Yeah. So
I did my job.
You did.
Yeah, if you weren't ruining it, it's like I said to Lizzie with the West Memphis 3, if you didn't ruin our day, you didn't do it right. So you definitely accomplished it. My day is thoroughly ruined. I don't know how to go on from this.
I mean, you're dressed in the right attire.
Oh, I am.
So at least there's that.
It's the funeral for my soul after these last 3 weeks of very dark stories. So that was Quiva with the Chris Watts story. And what a absolute fucking gimp he was. Do not rate him. Absolute dick. Anyone who supports him, get off our podcast.
No
Sorry,
time for you or your bullshit. So fuck off.
Mm-mm. There is no defending that man. So we are not the podcast for you if you defend him. Yeah, I guess we're going to be back next week. We had originally planned on doing consecutive domestic abuse type stories, but we need a break, and we feel like if we need a break, you guys do too. So instead, we're going to come back with something a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit like our conspiracy episode, but in this case it's Lizzie and Quiva telling the story, and I am going to react, and I very much look forward to whatever the fuck you're going to face me with.
So am I want to figure it out.
It's a secret to everyone right now. But yeah, following that, we've got something a little bit different after that week, but we'll talk about that closer to the time. So stick with us. As always, we ask you to wait around while we figure out what we do and what we're going to talk about. Don't forget to check out the links for everything that we've said at the start of the episode. Like I said, episode description on our socials. We'll put in our email from, you know, the stuff that I said at the start of the episode. All of that. Okay, we will catch you guys next week. Positive vibes and negative tests. And in the meantime, always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our club.
And kill myself.
Could only hope. Not for you, but for me.